Obituary.
Obituary. Inna Solovyova. The devoted historian of the Moscow Art Theatre died on May 29th, aged 96.
In her last months and weeks, with many of her students out of Russia because of its war against Ukraine, Inna Solovyova lay bedbound in her Moscow flat on the third floor of a grey Soviet block on a hill above the Seton River. Her body might be useless, especially her eyes, but her mind was clear as ever. In easier days, she had guided companions round Moscow for hours, tirelessly pointing out churches from the age of Boris Godunov or buildings where Anton Chekhov's three sisters might have lived. When she crossed the roads with her stout, forceful figure and her purposeful step, cars slowed down, and when she went to a favourite restaurant, a cheap, honest eatery, tucked away behind the Lenin Library, the drivers waiting for their bosses would straighten up as though to attention. Now her surroundings were reduced to shelves of old volumes and the tick of a Baroque clock. Here and there, though, discreetly placed, were signed portraits of famous directors, paintings by eminent set designers, and books signed by artists. She had dedicated much of her life to the history of the Moscow Art Theatre, founded in 1898 by Konstantin Stanislavski as a theatre for the first and last time, a theatre built on trust, a microcosm of the country and of Russian life in art. It was rooted in the ideas of Leo Tolstoy and devoted to psychological realism and the exercise of conscience. She too was inspired by these ideas, the founding essence and impulse of the theatre to get to the heart of questions of life, death and morality was hers too. She was a living link to Tolstoy's humanism and Chekhov's almost tactile sense of the passing of time. Like Stanislavski, she rejected imitation or slavish reconstruction of the past. The past had to be brought to life with such conviction that no one could doubt its authenticity. Reality had to be seen, experienced, and presented in fresh ways. As a theatre critic, advising directors and actors to the end, she was fascinated by the new life that emerged from some refraction of reality in an artist's imagination. The job of art was not to hold a mirror up to life, but to reflect its impact, as a shield reflected the blow of a sword. The violence of that metaphor found echoes in her early life. Each person had a motherland, she liked to say, but she had a mother time, the late 1930s, an era of grandiose ideas and vast tragedies. She was 10 when, in 1937, at the height of Stalin's terror, she saw a neighbour coughing up blood because soldiers of the NKVD, a forerunner of the KGB, had stamped on her chest with their boots. She thought then, to hell with Stalin, and to hell with world revolution too, if people's lungs had to be crushed. From then on, her hatred of both fascism and Stalinism was not abstract but physical. She rejected the lies because she had seen the truth and would not betray her own eyes. It was pointless to fear arrest. That was outside her control, a matter of fate, as it was in the ancient Greek tragedies she knew so well. All she could do was to write a poem in hexameters in the winter of 1953, calling for Stalin to die. The initial letter of each line spelled out his hateful name. When he obliged her, not long after, she felt triumphant. He had died and she had survived. Immediately she went out to survey the city she loved. Moscow was empty at first, as if it had surrendered and was waiting for new occupiers to come. Then it filled up with crowds, and the crowds formed into columns. The system, sustained by lies and fear, had clearly survived Stalin's death. But the noose had been loosened, the air had changed, and it was suddenly easier to breathe. That change presaged the question that occupied her later. It was not why Russia so often succumbed to violence and darkness, but why sometimes, in this dimly lit and harsh country, things might suddenly and unexpectedly get better. This ability to self-correct was one of the central themes of Russia's history and of the Moscow Art Theatre. Its first production was Tsar Fyodor Ivanovich, a 19th-century play by Alexei Tolstoy about a humble and saintly Tsar who succeeded Ivan the Terrible. It was imbued with a sense of life returning after the exhausting, deadly years of Ivan's rule. The production took its cue from the author's note, "Tsar Ivan has died, the sky has cleared, nature is awakening. Life, with its dark and light, is declaring its rights." The theatre held its actors to high moral standards, and she too worked that way. Idleness was not allowed. Dignity was her watchword. She would labour in the archives for 10 or 12 hours a day, almost without breaks, until the task was done. Her curiosity was inexhaustible, and thinking, to her, was as pleasant as swimming. But she was no otherworldly academic. She preferred a shot of vodka to a glass of champagne, could swear roundly if it was called for, and liked to hear the ideas of backstage staff as well as higher-ups. Everything she wrote was underpinned by documents and footnotes, but just as important were imagination and compassion, which allowed her to feel and represent the past as keenly as the present. In the archives, she needed to handle the documents as much as read them, to breathe them in. One of her favourite literary passages came from The Life of Archpriest Avakum, written in the 17th century by Avakum Petrovich. Petrovich had crisscrossed the entire country, and his book movingly recorded not just Russia's extreme violence, but also its people's tenacity and acceptance of their lot. At one point, after yet another accident with the sleigh, Avakum's wife asked her husband, "Will these sufferings last for long, Archpriest?" And I said, "Markovna, right to our very death." And so she sighed and answered, "Good enough, Petrovich. Then let's trudge on." Inna Solovyova accepted life in that spirit, but also imagined more vivid life to come. On a shelf above her narrow bed, written out on an A4 sheet, were the words of a prayer for an easy death, along with Stanislavski's advice to his actors: simpler, lighter, higher, more joyously.